the opening of the Board of Zoning Appeals meeting. First of all, I want to welcome to our first zoning board meeting, Karen Daly. Welcome.
Thank you.
The notice of this meeting, the time, the date, the place, and the agenda was published as a legal notice on February 5th, 2018 in the Aiken Standard. Notice to contiguous property owners, the mail, and the public notice for signs were posted on or before February 7th, 2018. Notice of the meeting of this meeting was set on or before by February 23rd, 2018 for posting on the city web board to the city clerk for posting on the finance and administration building notice board and the municipal building notice board 24 hours before this meeting. Agenda sheets were mailed or emailed to all interested parties. As a reminder, it is unlawful for any person giving testimony to this board knowingly providing false information. That's according to 22-9 of the Aiken Municipal Code. Each infraction is a separate offense with a penalty of up to 30 days in jail and or a fine of $1,092.50. To those persons that wish to address the board, we ask that you please occupy the podium in front of us. Please state your name and your address. And if you wish to receive copies of today's proceeding, you may sign up on the sign-up sheet just beyond the double doors, or you may call the planning department. To the board, you have received copies of the January 23, 2018 meeting minutes. Are there any corrections or additions? I noted one correction on page 2, where you talk in terms of, in the first paragraph, where you talk about the subject to inspect the zoning board official can inspect. I thought they indicated that unannounced inspections during business hours.
Correct.
Thank you. Are there other corrections to the minutes or additions?
Mr. Chair, I'll move the minutes be approved as edited and corrected.
I second.
It's been properly moved and seconded that the minutes from the January 23rd, 2018 meeting be approved as corrected. Do we have any discussions? Hearing none, those in favor of the motion show by raise of the right hand. Those opposed, same sign. The motion is carried unanimously. Old business.
We have final orders related to the January 4th and January 23rd BZA hearings.
Move directly into new business. I call your attention to application 18-92004. That's a request for a special exception to allow a telecommunications facility on property located in a zone, GB zone, and located within the SCDOT right-of-way at the northeast corner of Richland Avenue and University Parkway. To the city, we Were there any inquiries concerning this application?
No.
We have a
brief staff report. Again, the general location of this is kind of northeast of Richland Avenue West and University Parkway. Is essentially right in front of storm retention facility at the Walgreens site. Similar to cases you've heard before, Crown Castle is proposing to install essentially a utility pole with a small cell antenna on top. The pole would be roughly the same size as any utility pole, 34 feet at the pole plus the apparatus height, which in previous cases have ran into the upper 30s as far as feet. This has to come before you because Section 3.3.22 of the zoning ordinance states that in office, general business, and planned commercial districts, telecommunications facilities, towers, or antenna may be approved by special exception in accordance with the provisions listed at 6.2.18, which are described in more detail later in the staff report. This particular location is zoned general business. Again, this is in the public right-of-way, though, and Crown Castle has a franchise agreement with the city and with SCDOT to allow installation at that location, pursuant to the special exception. There were some exceptions that staff felt clarification may need to be made as they were possibly included in the Section 3.3.22 regarding screening, fencing, color, and those sorts of things listed therein, because those were intended not necessarily for this type of installation, but rather a large telecommunications antenna, as you would, the hundreds of feet tall variety, and we've described that, I think, in previous cases. We do have correspondence from the applicant on the case, Kimberly Adams, that there is another representative that will, from her company, that will be representing the site this evening.
Thank you. Any questions from the board to the city?
I have one question. Maybe you said this in your opening remarks. This is the same type of pole and assembly that we approved a few meetings ago. That's located on East Pine Log Road, near Fats, somewhere in that area. Is that right?
Right. So there have been two previous cases where these were approved by the board, and one was a slightly taller facility that was operated by a different company, and that was at 4th Street and Pine Log, yes, near the Fats and the Kroger gas station site. The second one was permitted essentially on the rear side of Millbrook Church at South Aiken Lane and South Aiken Boulevard, and that was, again, a slightly smaller, roughly this exact same size of utility pole.
Okay, great. Thank you.
And I do have a rendering up on your screen that they provided to us for context.
Any further questions from the board to the city? Thank you. Do we have a representative from Crown Castle?
Good evening. Thank you for allowing me the opportunity to speak before you. I am Tammy Jackson, Government Relations Specialist at Crown Castle, NG East. Crown Castle, as we said, is a franchisee of the city of Aiken. And we also have our certification from the Public Service Commission of the state to act as a public utility and access the right-of-way. As Mr. Bland has explained, this is our second application, our second time before you, regarding a pole essentially identical about 34 feet, and then another 2 or 3 feet for the antenna and equipment that we will put on the pole itself. The antenna, I believe, will be at the top, as rendered here, and then, as you see, sort of in the middle of the pole, about 12 to 15 feet above ground, is the equipment for the antenna.
Would you explain to me, what is a fiber backhaul?
Fiber backhaul is basically the fiber that is running from the macro tower, which is the normal cell towers that you see. The fiber actually goes from the larger tower and feeds these smaller towers.
And do you have a maintenance crew here in the city? I noticed you'd be monitoring at 24 hours, but if something should go wrong, how soon or where is your maintenance crew?
We have our office is the in Atlanta, but we do have a team that is here and spread out different areas of the state. And I believe it's within driving distance to get to it to actually take care of it.
Thank you. Board questions to Ms. Jackson?
How far from the sidewalk will this pole be?
Between 10 or 15 feet. It has to remain within the right-of-way. And in this instance, is right in front of the iron fence there.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you. Can you explain why this is needed at this point?
Small cell technology is used as a way to offload the traffic from a larger cell tower, the ones that are 200-300 feet in height, that are usually farther away from the right-of-way and primarily on private property. The small cells, the nodes are on utility poles in most cases, and what they do is offload the traffic and the capacity where people are trying to use their phones in densely populated areas. These small cells are closer and in the right of way so that they actually offload from the towers that are further away from a densely populated area.
Thank you. So this tower is not necessary to replace an existing 200 to 300 foot cell tower.
It's no, sir. It's to complement the capacity and coverage of those towers. Yes, sir.
Okay.
And I noticed when looking at the site that there are no nearby telephone poles that you can utilize, so you need to put up one yourself.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I believe that they're doing some construction or reconfiguring the intersection that's a little, maybe 200 to 300 feet away, and there were no poles that were suitable in the area where this is proposed.
Further questions from the board to Ms. Jackson? Thank you. Do we have others to speak to the special exception request? Final call. Others to speak to the special exception request? Seeing, hearing none, the chair will not entertain a motion so we can enter a period of discussion.
Mr. Chairman, I would like to make a motion that the special exception application 18-92004 to allow a telecommunication pole within the SCDOT right-of-way adjacent to the Walgreens located on the north side of West Richland Avenue, east of University Parkway, be approved with the following criteria. The approval is granted to have approximately 34-foot tall small cell telecommunications facility with right-of-way located on the north side of Richland Avenue, west approximately 54 feet east of the driveway to Dunkin' Donuts and 10 feet back of the roadway curb. that the facility, telecommunications facility, must comply with the standards of Section 3.3.22 of the zoning ordinance, with the exception of setbacks, screening, and fencing conditions listed therein at Section 3.3.22b4, small b, Section 3.3.22b5, and Section 3.3.22b.6, and that the final order is to remain with the land and to be recorded at the Yadkin County RMC office. I second.
It's been properly moved and second. Do we have any discussion? Hearing none, those in favor of the motion show by raising the right hand. The motion is carried unanimously. I call your attention to application 18-90001. Appealing an administrative decision for the reduction of an accessory structure, the setback at the, on the property zone RS 15, and this is located at 342 Mimosa Circle. To the city, has there been any inquiries that you wish to share with the board?
The correspondence, the official correspondence that we have received, was distributed to you from the appealant prior to this meeting. It is dated February 26, 2018.
Thank you. Any questions from the board to the city?
I did have one question to the city that might come up during the conversation, but if there were to be a fire, would there be any problem with fighting the fire from the city if it was allowed to remain there?
Public safety is notified for the administrative waiver setback process, and then no concerns were noted.
Okay, so it wouldn't be a problem?
Correct.
Okay, thank you.
Did the city issue a stop work order based on a complaint?
Correct.
Would you explain?
So in the sequence of events listed on page 2, it kind of outlines this, but in early November, a building permit was issued for construction, which showed greater setbacks. So a building permit was filed with the city, and it met size and square footage requirements, and given the setbacks provided on that plot plan at that time, it met setback requirements as well. The building inspections division received a complaint November 28th, shortly after the Thanksgiving holiday, with concern that it was too close to the property line and concerns over the height of the structure. Upon inspection, our building inspector determined that it was roughly 7 feet from either property line approximately. At that point, a stop work order was issued as it was constructed within the 10-foot setback, and at that point is when the administrative appeal process started, the administrative waiver process started, a denial occurred, and then now an appeal to you.
Done. Mr. Bland, I have a question. If the original application had distances that were more in keeping with the actual setbacks, would that have triggered any kind of halt in the process, the granting of the building permit?
It would not have. Otherwise, the structure met the accessory setback requirements in the ordinance.
So this 20-foot distance and 15-foot setback indicated on the application are erroneous, but they're not misleading or to the point that it would impact on the application.
Right, so the So the 20-foot and the 15-foot setback are within our requirements of 10 feet setback from a side or rear property line for something to be approved building permit administratively. It's because it was constructed in actuality closer to 7 feet and 7 feet from the property lines per our building inspector, that is what triggered the issue with non-compliance with the zoning ordinance.
Okay. Mr. Bland, you gave them the 8-foot on the side, is that correct? You approve that?
Correct, yeah. Staff was okay in looking. One of the criteria was that it would, the location of vegetation would make it difficult to comply, and that's in my administrative criteria at 3.4.2H of the zoning ordinance. And there is a maturing palmetto tree directly adjacent to it that if it were moved over, that you would have had to take that tree, essentially.
Right, okay.
So actually, the side setback is 8 feet. Is that
correct? Yeah, roughly at the closest point. Again, I would point out that if you notice the property lines on this particular application, that the property kind of let's see here if I can have a good. I didn't put it in your presentation, but it essentially kind of comes to an angle behind the property. So at the closest point, it's roughly 7 feet to the rear, 8 feet to the side, and then gets wider from the property line as it gets further because of a slightly, it's not a squared angle at the corner of the property.
Based on the survey that...
Right, yes, you're saying it is correct, yeah.
This survey is showing, if I read this right, from a point where apparently the enclosed portion of the carport is to the property line is 11.69 feet. Am I reading that properly?
Right, so it does appear that, based on the recent information provided by the applicant of a survey done, that the side setback was a non-issue either through my administrative process or through it was a null point to begin with since he provided proof of otherwise.
Okay, but the rear setback is, at the closest point, is a 7.14
correct.
Feet. And that's
an issue.
The issue.
And what is the furthest point from the other corner?
I do not have the measurement from the furthest point.
11 feet, I believe.
11 feet?
Yeah.
Now that was, it does look about the same, doesn't it? I'm talking about the corner back.
Clarification, yeah, Mr. Coward, to the board. I didn't look at the exhibit. What's noted there is the shed, which is a completely enclosed structure,
right.
Is noted at 11.69. The carport extends out from that. I think you can see kind of some posts, and so it does get closer to the property line than that. So we haven't been able to verify, the closest point of the carport, other than what the building inspector provided us, at roughly 8 feet.
Roughly 8 feet. So that would be okay. But I'm going to say approximately 8 feet then.
Correct.
For the carport structure, the south west corner then of the carport is 8 feet, give or take.
Correct.
To the fence line.
And again, that was an administrative waiver. Staff was willing to grant for saving the tree that was on site.
Okay.
I want to say that's 11 feet. The northwest corner of the building is 11 feet from the property line.
Okay.
About thereabouts.
Yeah.
Thereabouts.
Okay. But given the initial information that you had, which was this drawing right here,
correct
sketch, those were approximate amount of distances.
Correct.
That you had to make this call on.
Correct. And so, yeah, that's typical. So we would, although not always that sophisticated, we would require a plot plan that would show approximate distances to the structure, and if they fall within setbacks. If they're generally close, we will we'll call and confirm that sort of thing if necessary, or do some further research. But in this case, it was well within within regulation at that point.
Okay. As far as the height, you said there was the call or the complaint was based on the setbacks, and hear the word height in there. So was this drawing given to the to you and the building inspection folks showing the rough layout? I don't see a height on this, at least on the first drawing, showing the plan and elevation view.
Right.
So was the height at any point determined prior to construction?
The height was, yes. So the height was verified. I believe we both scaled it out and confirmed via phone call what the height was, and it was less than or equal to the height of the primary structure, which is what the code requires.
Okay. So right now it meets the height requirement.
Correct.
No question on the height.
Correct.
Is that right?
Ryan, on that application plot, you have 80 foot between the front of the house and the street, I take it. The official plat shows 59 feet, 20 foot difference. The east boundary, the distance to the, I guess, the boundary line is 40 feet, as indicated there. Here it is 24 feet. 20 feet to the back of the property line from the garage. Here we're looking at 7 feet. And then 15 feet to the west on the application, and in actuality it's 11.69 feet. Didn't that set off an alarm of any, did you compare that with this?
We compared generally to an aerial photo, and we were able to measure based on GIS general descriptions. And while we did notice that there might be some discrepancy between what was listed as the front setback and the side setback in that case, because building permits were not requested for the house itself other than for the screen porch addition in the rear, that the primary issue was that screen porch addition and the carport addition, that is the it fell within standard.
Did
so.
The contractor make that drawing, or did the homeowner make that drawing?
I do not know.
Okay. Who applied for the building permit? The contractor?
The contractor.
Okay.
Any additional questions from the board to the city? Did you have any other presentations for us?
I do not.
No, thank you. Any additional questions from the board to the city? Thank you. Mr. or Mrs. Ritt?
Good afternoon. I wanted to say thank you very much for the inspectors that came out today, part of your board that took a look at the building.
Would you state your name and address, please, for the record?
Tom and Cynthia Ritt, 342 Mimosa Circle.
Thank you.
Sorry.
You may continue.
It's old age, I think. Anyway, to start off with, in reviewing of your rejection in the beginning, I had looked through the pictures, and there were several pictures that were taken by the, I guess, the Planning Commission or the inspectors, but there were no pictures taken of the back of the building indicating where the variance is. So on February the 26th, I brought another sheet in, which you have a copy of, that will show you the revised plot plan that we had drawn up, because in the back...
The correct plot plan. The plot plan that we received upon purchase of the house was 1994. And because of the complaint against us, we paid to have Trip Survey Company do a new survey and found that the lines were not correct on the 1994 plot. So at any rate, we issued on... yesterday or the day before, we provided the correct plot, February plot,
earlier,
and also pictures of the back of the building where the controversy is.
And there are no pictures taken before, and it shows that even though there's only 7 feet, 14, at one end, at the other end, there's 11.69 distance from the fence. And to make you aware, there's two fences back there. There's a chain link fence that was put up by the neighbor, and before we bought it, somebody had put another fence up on the inside. And we also identified also that the chain link fence has moved sometime onto our property by 22 feet.
Is the chain link, is that the original property line or the...
I think his original property line is the chain link fence, and that was used by Trip and their GPS because they could not get in between the two fences to measure it exactly. They had to use a GPS and measure the property almost three times to get it correct to what it should be and what the property is.
And so what was found is that the chain link fence behind our house does not belong to us, but 22 feet of that fence is actually on our property.
But that's beside the point. But so my concern is that if you didn't have the right pictures, it would be hard for you to make an assessment of the acceptability of the 7 feet or the 10 feet. And I understand it is the law for the 10 feet, and it is our mistake for not going the full 10 feet, but we did the best we could with the amount of property that we had, and like I explained in the previous letter that is attached to the original petition, that there's a possibility we will have a handicapped person living with us in several years, and we needed a turnaround space in the back to make more room for wheelchair accessibility and so forth. And that was another reason for extending the garage a little bit longer and to give us some storage space.
Yeah, Mr. Ritt, did you apply for the building permit, or did a contractor?
A contractor did. With our approval.
As I read this, looking at your most recent survey, that for a distance of 22 feet along the back line, a fence is 4 inches over the property line for that 22-foot distance, but that's not a fence that you all put up. That was there.
It was existing.
That was there when you bought the property.
Right.
It's not our fence.
No. We didn't put it up. You will see that at where it says wire fence is south of lot line. It's about the second notation down on the back of the fence shows that. But anyway, the back of the carport will not be used for anything anyway. It'll be left wide open for accessibility back there. And you'll notice that one of the pictures that you have there has a huge tree. It's this one right here that looks like this. There's a huge tree, and that's what's behind the carport. It's leaves and dirt. That would stay like that. I don't plan to use it for anything except leaves.
So you plan to put the carport 20 feet off the line, and at some point it was determined...
No, we had planned to put it 10. I think that drawing was drawn up as a sketch.
Okay.
And then when we started drawing it out, we found out that we could not get it 20 feet, but we could get it almost 10. But by the time they laid the footer and everything else like that, it kind of moved it back a little ways. And I can have my contractor speak on that better than I can, Tom Clark or Jonathan Lufton. And they built the building. And they can speak to that better than I can, if you would like them to speak. But I'm asking for the waiver to have it kept. If not, we'll be cutting 2 feet off the building at a large expense.
We can assume that your contractor knew the zoning requirements, that he had to be 10 feet from the back property line. Are we talking about the wire fence or the...
Both fences are almost, they're about this far apart. So you can consider both of them...
the property line.
Yes. There may be 1 inch difference between the other fence and the chain. When we bought the house, we didn't have a copy of the plot plan. I had to go and get one, and I asked the owner at that time if he had a copy. He said no, so I went and got one so we would have it, a good one. And then I went and had Mr. Tripp after this controversy. I wanted to make sure that we were within our rights and where the property line really was, so that if we go to sell it 10 years from now, if we're still there, somebody at least have an up-to-date plot plan. And they did a great job of showing more than we need to see on the house.
On the back of the current garage, where it is right now, I thought that it was pretty woody right back there with everything.
It is on the other side of the fence.
Uh-huh.
On my side of the fence, if you look at the picture that's
right
there, two or three pictures over there, it shows only one tree
right
that is behind the building itself, and that's that great big oak. I think it's an oak.
What is the building that's in the property behind you? What is that?
That's our neighbor's building.
I know it, but I mean, what?
Shed, as far as I know.
Shed, okay. Because when I looked at it, like I said, it looked real.
There's
real
a lot of bushes back there and trash cans and other stuff back there. But, I mean, she's here if you want to ask her what it is.
Okay.
I don't know what it is.
Do you happen to know how far that building is from the property line?
No.
5 to 6 feet.
And did I read this correctly? I don't know. It might be more of a question for the city. It used to be the covenant said a building could be 5 feet from the line.
I've never seen a covenant. When I moved in there, I was told there was no covenant.
Okay.
Yet I've been told later on there is, but nobody does anything with it. So I don't know if there was a covenant or is a covenant.
Didn't you tell me that shed on the other side of the fence was grandfathered in?
I'm assuming it was. Because it's still there, nobody's complained about it.
Mm-hmm.
And there's quite a few sheds in all the whole neighborhood, if you were to go around and measure them or look at them, that are closer to the fence than mine is. And I think a lot of those may have been grandfathered in with older buildings, and the people lived there during that time. But I don't know. I'm assuming, which is not a good thing to do. Especially...
Mr. Vitt, but in the application for the administrative waiver, it was stated at the bottom that the previous restrictive covenant only requires 5 feet, but that it has expired. Where did you get that information from?
Where is that?
That's what I was referring to.
I don't.
At the bottom of the.
I've never seen that.
But it's the application for the administrative waiver that you signed on
11-30-17. That's not it.
11-30-17. It's in your handwriting. It's not typed.
Yes. Okay, it's a page in here. Okay. Is that in your B administrative?
It's up on the board.
Okay. That would be.
That's not our writing.
This is Tom put this together for us.
That's our contractors.
Put that together for us, and I signed off on it. Well, he signed for me, which is, I gave him permission to do that. not able to find a certified covenant anywhere.
What was the homeowner association back then? Or
like I said, when we bought the house from Michael's house, he didn't know what the covenant. After he built the house, he didn't build it. A tree fell on the house, and he reconstructed it and rebuilt it and increased the inside, you know, by raised the roof by 2 feet. And the only thing we did to it was add the patio and the porch in the back and the carport.
One of the reasons for this line of questioning is that contractors within the city of Aiken, they know what the covenants are. And we're trying to establish whether or not the contractor knew the requirements or did not know the requirements, because they know that if you build, you either have to ask for a variance or you have to relocate the structure that they're attempting to build if they're not within the covenants.
Would you like to hear from my contractor?
Just a second. We...
Okay.
Any additional questions from the board to Mr. and Mrs. Ritt?
Mr. Ritt, how far is the left side, the rear left or the northwest corner of the garage from the property line?
11 feet. Just 11.69 feet.
11.69 feet down to the current, what, 7 point?
Yeah, down to the 7.14.
Okay.
It's at an angle, so the far end is wider than this end here.
A good amount of it is within the 10, outside the 10 foot or 8 foot distance.
Any further questions to Mr. and Mrs. Ritt? Thank you, and I'll have you give some rebuttal time when we get done.
Okay. Thank you very much.
We have others to speak to the administrative waiver.
My name is Maggie Fox. I live at 869 Azalea Place, and I thank you for letting me address you. I live right behind the structure, and I can look out all my windows in my back of my house, and that's what I see. Because there used to be a lot of trees out there, but the person who built the house for the Ritz cut all those trees down, so when he built this structure, I mean, it went up almost overnight because I didn't know. They didn't tell me they were building anything, and I happened to be out there with my dog, and I saw this building that was tremendous and went close to the fence, and it's almost like I could reach over and touch the building. And I knew that that was not correct, because years ago I was taking a class and I was going to be a building inspector, so I knew some of the rules. And at that moment, I made a few, I did make a few phone calls, but then I had a contractor come into my house, inside my house, just to do some work for me, not big stuff, but just put light stuff in. And he saw the building, and he said, "Who built that building?" He said, "It's too close to your line." I said, "I know." And he said, any contractor that would build a building that close knows, he should know the rules. And and he commented on it for a length of time. And I told Mr. Ritt that when he came to my house, and he said, "Well, why didn't you have your contractor come over to talk to me?" I didn't think that was appropriate, so I didn't send my contractor over to his house to tell him he'd put the building in the wrong place. But you know, you can see that building, and that fence is mine, that shed is mine. It was built probably 45, 50 years ago, and there used to be all trees back there when we moved in. You couldn't even see a house. It was just completely covered in trees. There were not even any curbing in that area. It was just roads. It's an old horse area, so they kept the roads dirt, and then they paved them lightly, and then they came in after we had a bad flood years ago and put in curbing and drainage. Before that time, we didn't have it. But I went to visit my son at Thanksgiving. This happened about that time, and when I came back, this is when I saw the structure there. So I called a friend of mine who is a building inspector for the city, and he told me the rules too, and which I already knew, but and he contacted you all, and I guess did the proper procedure or whatever you go through, and said they came out and measured and said that they had put a stop hold on the building, that it could not be continued until they had done something or planned whatever with the planning director, with Mr. Bland, because I talked with Mr. Bland. And I called Mr. Bland back. I was going back to Washington at Christmas, and I told Mr. Bland that I didn't want anything going up out there until I got back, and he said there would not be because there was a stop on the building. Well, the day I got back, they were out there putting siding on the building. So evidently, the letter that was sent out did not stop the construction. They went ahead and kept on. And so they had to send somebody else out there to stop it until we had this meeting, because we knew this meeting was coming up. And so that's my part of it. But if they could have talked to me, I feel like if they had called me or talked to me and said, we're having to do this, but the building was up, because I work and go to work early, and then I get home late, and it's not like I'm going to go out and look at that building. I've been there for years. I probably have been in that neighborhood longer than anybody else in that neighborhood. I know on my street I have been there longer than anyone else. And so to see something go up, and the building that I had, what is in my yard, was grandfathered in. It was built a long time ago. And there was nothing but trees. There was no grass or anything out there at that time. And but it's just when people come, they said, what is that building? I had my sister come to my house Saturday, and she said, that's all you see from your every window is that big building in the back. And I said, yeah, you know, it's, and I had told her about the structure. But I guess it just kind of upsets me that the contractor or someone didn't pick up on it, because if you're a contractor and you have a license to build in South Carolina, you're supposed to know how far back you can go. And 7 feet is not what is code. So, and I knew that was wrong immediately. So I thought, what contractor would have built something that close unless somebody told him to do that, or he just didn't care? So, you know, that's my point, is I just feel like it was done without disregard for neighbors or for me. And that fence that he was talking about has been up there for years too. I mean, it's covered with ivy. You don't even see it. I don't even hardly know it's there, but it was there. It's been there for years and years, and I don't know anything about the lines or anything. We had it surveyed years ago, and I don't look at it every day. It's not something I go back and look at it. We had it done for the sprinkling system, so we would make sure that all the heads were put at the right place. But and I guess what bothers me most is the contractor, and I appreciate your interest and your questions about that, because that was my questions too, was why would the contractor, knowing that he could lose his license and be fined for building something that was in violation of the code.
Any question from the board to Judy?
Let me ask you this. If that building was moved closer to his property, 3 feet, is that going to give you any less view of the top of the building that you see from all your windows now?
I can see it. It's a big building. The back of it is a large building. It probably would help some. And it's just like it blocks the whole area. And I guess I was just disappointed that they didn't call me and say we're going to build a structure out here. And would that be okay? I guess I'm just used to being there so long that neighbors are just very, you know, approachable and talk to each other and say, I'm going to build a monstrous, you know, structure out here, which it does look that large, and would that be okay? But if I were going to build a structure like that, I would contact my neighbors and tell them, you know, we're starting to do this, you know, you'll see some construction going on, and especially if I'm building anything in the backyard, which I at one time was planning to add to my garage, but knew that it was too close to the line, could not do it, because we had it measured, and the contractor said you couldn't do it because it's too close to the line, so I just let it go. I guess taking that class that I took on building inspection, I learned a lot and gained a lot of information, and it's almost like when you see things around Aiken that are going up, you know that something's not right. And I picked up on it immediately. And if somebody visits me in my house and sees it and they comment on it, especially that contractor, and the first thing he told me is that contractor is going to be fined and he probably will lose his license. Which he should have known better, or somebody in that act should have known better.
Nancy?
I'd like to ask, is the problem the height, or is it that it's too close to the line? If, let's just pretend like it was moved 3 feet closer to his house, is that going to satisfy you?
Well, I know,
because I heard Mr. Bland say the height is within what they're allowed
to
do.
It looks so tall, but I know how far it's supposed to be from the line, and it's a lot closer. When you're looking at 15 feet versus 7 feet, big difference. Not 3 feet, but even what the permit, I mean, they didn't follow the permit. If you're issued a permit and you don't follow it, I mean, that's in any situation, you're aiming for trouble. And I just figured that this contractor was issued a permit. If he picked up that permit, if he builds in South Carolina or Aiken, he knows what the rules are. Like someone just mentioned, he knows, you know, how far you can go close to the fence. And I don't know, because I don't see it there. You know, I haven't seen it if it's that far back. But it is really close. I mean, it's almost like you could, 7 feet, you can reach over almost and touch the building. And I hate it went up so quickly. And then what bothers me most is that when they put a stop on it, that they continued to build. It was like, it's like they didn't follow the rules. And the contractor just kept building. And this was a month later. This was after Christmas. And I came home, and I was walking my dog out there, and they were putting siding up. So I knew that the building was continuing. And I think both parties should have known that. If you've gotten a letter from the city saying that you don't build, that you've been issued this letter and you're still building, then you're not following the rules. If it were me, I followed the rules when I couldn't build my garage and I couldn't do this. And if I'd been issued a letter, I would have followed the rules. But then when other people tell me, the first thing they say is that building, and especially a contractor that comes inside my house, not even outside, recognized it immediately. I mean, I wasn't even thinking about the building, to tell you the truth. He just looked out the door and said, that building there is too close, and he was just looking across the backyard.
Yep. Other questions? But
just a point of clarification, the issue before us is the rear setback. The height of the building meets code, is that correct?
Has it been measured? I just want to make sure it's been measured and from top to bottom.
My building inspectors tell me that it's at or below the height of the primary residence.
And that's the code, at or below.
Correct. Okay. That says the height of an accessory building may not be more than the primary building on the lot.
I'm not an inspector, but when I went out there, I looked and it looked like it was less than the building.
Right.
Other questions? John?
No, I don't have a question.
Thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate your time. Thank you.
Do we have others to speak to the variance, the waiver?
My name is David Davis. I live at 873 Azalea Place, which is right next to Maggie. I've lived there 48 years. So my biggest concern is the established, we live in an established neighborhood and have people come in and just totally ignore the zoning rules and build like that. It makes it, it's not considerate when you don't at least talk to the person before you build it, not after, and they came after they built it. Also, it makes it awkward for the rest of us, we neighbors, because it makes us almost take sides, and it knocks a wedge into what we've had as a very peaceful neighborhood for the last 50 years that the neighborhood's been in existence. So it's just uncomfortable to think that people can just come in and do that. And then I think how awkward it is for people like me. Now I have a neighbor that I like them, but they still have broken the zoning variance. And my neighbor Maggie, who has been a neighbor for 49 years, and it's just not right. Somehow or another, it's just not right. And a contractor, if he has a license, he should know that he can't build over that line. You just can't do that. But apparently he just ignored that and did it.
Any questions from the board to Mr. Davis? Thank you. Do we have others to speak to the administrative appeal?
Not yet.
Ladies and gentlemen of the board, thank you for this opportunity to speak. I'm Tom Clark. I am the owner of Tom Clark Construction General Contractors. I work in concert with Jonathan Lupton, who is the president of Southern Carolina Construction Incorporated. Between the two of us, we have done work on over 1,000 homes in Aiken County. Prior to starting our construction, Jonathan checked with, and Jonathan's here to verify this, checked with the county to try to ascertain the actual setback that was in effect. The county had told him that the covenants were stated it was 5 feet. Anytime that we put any building, anytime we add a building or even change the color of a building, our first priority is that we complement the neighborhood. We don't do things that stand that are outlandish. We have done several projects in the historical district, and the historical district has very definite ideas and that we follow exactly. We have never in over 1,000 homes had a problem with a setback or a code violation of any kind or any kind of administrative problems with the city or with the county. Our primary objection, like I said, is to be to have continuity with the surrounding area. When we first looked at Mr. Rich's property, we did a survey of the immediate neighborhood. There are 17 structures that are 5 feet or less than 10 feet from the property line. So what we've done is just basically we've just tied in with the surrounding structure. structures and all the surrounding homes. Mrs. Fox's structure is probably 4 or 5 feet. You know, it may not even be 5 feet from the property line. And the other, you know, throughout the area, it's no problem to see that there are, like I say, 17 structures that are closer than the 10-foot requirement that is now the requirement. So when they, and I realized when they were built, they fell under a different requirement and only having to be 5 feet. To Mrs. Fox's point that vegetation was cut out, yes, there were some trash bushes and things that they cut out. They removed one tree, not many trees. That tree was not 22 feet wide. So, I mean, it, as far as it blocking it, that's it did not. The one tree was necessary. It was not in great shape. It was necessary to have it taken down to be able to facilitate putting the garage in, or not garage, but the storage area of the carport. But as far as there was no malice intended, there was, we certainly didn't want to have a problem with the city, because we never have had in over 1,000 jobs. And as far as the, lost my train of thought.
I have a question, Mr. Clark.
Yes, sir.
When you open your opening statement, you indicated that you checked with the county. Did you not check with the city?
I'll have to leave that to Mr. Lupton. He's the one that did that. We did this project in concert, you know, working together. And in some cases I do the commercial aspect because I have a general contractor's license, and Jonathan does a residential because he is a residential contractor. And so as far as the stop work order, we never received a letter from the city saying stop work. Now, I'm sure that if one went out and went to the owner, fine, and we might have just, you know, there might have been a lack of communication. The work that was being done after we were aware that there was a stop work order was simply putting up some siding on the structure that we had to protect the structure from weather, and we have not worked on that project in over 2 months. And this has caused some degree of problems for us and some financial concerns because, you know, the bank doesn't want to pay you if you're not working. So,
Mr. Chairman, I have a question.
Yes,
you said you've done over 1,000 homes.
Yes.
Approximately how many in the city?
Probably 700.
Okay.
700, and that's not building necessarily a new home. That's some of that work is additions, some of that work is renovation, some of that is historical renovation. So, you know, it's just varied construction practices.
I guess what I want to know is, were you aware that it was 10 feet that you were not allowed to go past? And if you were aware, did someone tell you to do that? You know, go against the setback lines.
I was aware that it was 10 feet. In the situation of us dealing with the owner, and Jonathan dealing with the owner, and me dealing with the owner, and the fact that the 17 houses in the surrounding area all had less than a 10-foot setback, all paid, you know, part of that, and the fact that Mr. Ritt is had to have the actual turnaround space that he has. Backing out of his driveway is problematic at best, and so he had to have the turnaround, and to be able to initiate the turnaround, especially in the event that his invalid daughter moves in with him, the carport had to be moved back. So I don't know if it was, it was certainly not a thing done out of maliciousness or, you know, willingness to break the law or to break the code.
But it sounds like you moved it back knowingly that it was in violation of the setbacks. Only 30 inches. 30 inches would have made a big difference, and it would have been legal.
Right.
And does that make that much of a difference with turning around? It sounds like you kind of saw some other things and you just kind of went ahead and pushed the envelope, if you will, and just kind of set it back, no one would see it.
Not knowing, I mean, it's obvious that the building inspector would see it. It was obvious. We sort of more or less drew a line in the sand and went from there. And I can contribute as much to negligence, and I accept, you know, responsibility for that. But there was certainly no malice intended.
Where did the covenant requires 5 feet but has expired come from, and where did that...
The date on it was 1994, I believe.
Jonathan, where?
It's 89.
This is the city, though.
Right, but the covenant says...
We need you to reach yourself in 2 minutes. You need to address the board, and if someone from the audience, they need to read themselves in 2 minutes. Go ahead.
My name is Jonathan Lupton, 1952 Cottonwood Drive.
Thank you.
It came from the Aiken County building. The old covenants is from the building. And like I said, I know a couple of people that live in there, and I talked to them. And he did a carport addition. He was within 5 foot. So, I mean, that's where the biggest thing came from is, I mean, we thought 5 foot was fine for that neighborhood. And after all the other houses you see, her garage is 5 foot from the property line. I mean, have to house in there 5 foot. So like I said, I mean, if we knew all this was going to come in hand, of course, I mean, we would have took out more trees and moved the driveway and walls. I mean, like I said, we didn't want all this to happen. And then, like I said, I mean, we tried to fit. I mean, like I said, there's a big palm tree. But at the beginning, there was a ton of underbrush in that corner and trees. So, I mean, you can't really get in there and stake out your lines and pull your strings, all that kind of stuff. So, of course, once Mr. Ritt had all that cleared out, you know, we could lay everything out, and they wanted to lay it out so they could back their car up and get out the brick gate. So, of course, we had to move some stuff around because of the palm tree and the big crepe myrtle by the backing pad, and kind of rework some stuff so they'd be happy and be able to use it to get out their driveway.
Mr. Chairman. Mr. Lofton, you are the manager of what was going on out there?
Yes.
And you have a contractor's license?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, let's say that this board denies this variance request. Who's going to bear, not that this should make a difference in how we vote, but it has to be fixed. Who will bear that expense? The owner?
Well, I'll go out there and take 2.5 feet off the corner.
I'm sorry?
I'll go out there and take 2.5 feet off the corner of the building.
Okay.
Who's going to bear the expense?
I mean, I will. I mean, it's got to be done. It's got to be done.
But the height would remain the same. So you'd somehow take 2 feet off of it?
Yeah, like I said, but it's 11.5 feet on one side. Really, we're talking about a corner this big by this much is what we're talking about. That's it. So, I mean, we're not talking about a lot. Like I said, the angle of the yard is what throws the building off too. Trying to lay everything out between the palm tree, the angle of the yard, the fences, it's tough laying everything out perfect so everything will work out to make them happy to be able to back up and use it as a driveway.
I certainly understand your the situation about wanting to have a turnaround area outside the carport, but the 8x24 shed, which is fully enclosed, if it weren't there, you'd certainly be within the setback requirements. If you took the 8-foot width, you would be well within the setback. Would you not?
Took the building completely off. Yeah.
The enclosed portion. The enclosed 8x24 portion. And so you were just saying then to meet a 10-foot setback, you can measure along the property line, and with your surveying equipment, you could come to a point, say, okay, along that back line of that shed, come along and take your distance from the fence or from the property line as best you can determine into the building, and you would keep moving eastward until you hit that 10-foot point.
Yeah.
Then the rest of the building would be modified such that to meet that 10-foot requirement. Is that basically what you just described, and is it taking off the corner of it?
No, I mean, that's cutting off the whole back of the building.
No, you just said it was
the corner.
A portion. One corner is over 11 feet,
yes, sir,
from
yeah.
the corner.
But to fix the whole thing now, I mean, you'd have to take off. I mean, you can't just cut a corner off and leave it.
Okay, well, maybe I just misunderstood what you just said a few minutes ago.
Take a rectangular section off? Is what?
A triangle. I mean, that's what I was describing as a triangle because the angle of the fence in the back.
Yeah.
The triangle of the corner of that building, that's what's causing a problem.
Right.
Judy? Any further question from the board to Mr. Mumpkins or Mr. Clark? Thank you.
Thank you.
Do we have others to speak to the administrative decision? Final call for others to speak to the administrative decision. Hearing none, Mr. Ritt,
yes.
I allow you 2 minutes for rebuttal time.
Thank you very much. First thing I'd like to say is the trees that were cut down in back of the yard back there were cut down prior to us buying the property. There was one tree cut down, which is on the left-hand side, which is leaning over in my neighbor's yard and dropping junk all over the place, and it's a rotten tree. So we cut that down, and I asked him if he was okay to cut it down because he was next door. David, I can't remember his last name. Anyway, so those bushes that were all back there were cherry trees, and they were all cut down by Mr. Sullivan before we bought them. And in the beginning, when we were over there, before we'd moved in, we spoke to Mrs. Fox, and we had a very nice conversation and everything like that, and we told her we were building a carport, and we didn't tell her how high because I didn't know how high. So everything was fine, and we never talked to her again until the time that we got this message to stop work. We received a written copy, but not the first one. If there were two issued, we only received one. And at that point, we did stop. And that was when we had two or three boards nailed to the back. There's only three boards going up the back of the building that were nailed in before we stopped work. Because I guess she made a call, as she said, back to, I guess, Mr. Bland there, and they came out with a letter saying, no more work. They were digging a ditch for the door, and that was a banging for that also, and they ditched the door to have a ramp put because I have trouble walking. I have neuropathy, and I can walk and fall down real easy in the ramp there. And as far as that, we did go over and talk to Mrs. Fox when we received the stop work, and it was not a very good conversation. A finger was waved in my house, in my face, yelling, you're breaking the law, you're breaking the law, you're breaking the law, you should know better, and so forth. But that's beside the point. At that point, I said, we left. We said, have a good day, and we left. Now, as far as the building, it is tall, and if you look at it from the street, it does look tall. But if you measure it and look at it, when we built it, we made sure it was not taller even than the lowest part of the building. And I did not know there was a requirement in a way that you go ask anybody, can I build a building on my own property? And if it blocks your view, I'm very sorry that it blocks your view, but I don't know what your view would be of except the sky and trees, because you can't see any other houses from the back of my yard.
Yeah, Mr. Ritt, basically this board is hearing the setbacks,
right.
But in this discussion so far, there's been another discussion that we can't do anything about, and I would get a comment from you. Would you be amenable to possibly, if I'm not predicting how the board is going to vote, but if you get an opportunity to build a structure, would you plant trees in order to not have her see a building out of her back door, or bushes, or shrubbery, or something?
We intend to put shrubbery to be right now. If you look in the backyard, if you see it, one of the pictures up there, it's a total chain link fence,
yay high, and I don't know how she could reach over it and touch the building unless she has a 7-foot length arm.
Okay.
But it's all crisscross wire at the top, not barbed wire, but just chain link fence with no bar to cover it. So if you leaned over, you'd be scratched. But it's full of poison ivy, which we did take out on our side, and ivy covers the whole fence. My wife wants to put up, what do they call it? Lower petalum, which grows about yay high and makes a nice bush. But it would not hinder her view because she's still got the ivy fence there. Now, we didn't plan to put any more trees back there except I want a dogwood tree in my backyard. But I didn't know we had to contact anybody to tell them of a building I'm putting up if it's on my property and meets the code. Maybe it's something nice to do. I've never done that before. So that's any other questions you don't ask?
Any other questions from the board? Thank you very much.
You're more than welcome. Thank you.
I issue the final call. Anyone? Do we have others to speak to the administrative request? Hearing none, the chair would entertain a motion so we can enter a period of discussion.
I make a motion that application 18-90001 for the setback for the new structure out in the back, as much as I hate to say this, be denied. I think this is a terrible situation, but contractors should have known.
Do we have a second?
I'll second that for the sake of discussion.
The motion, a motion is made with a second. Do we have any discussion?
Mr. Chairman, I know I feel like it's not actually... The problem is not actually the closeness to the fence. I feel it's more the height of the building, and I don't think that moving it forward 3 feet or whatever we decide to do is going to make a difference. It's going to be there. So I can't. I feel like that Mr. Ritt has, like I say, it looks nice in the neighborhood, but when I went back and visited, I don't know that maybe a solution might be to do some taller trees back there, some taller shrubbery, but I don't know how tall the building is. Is it 12 feet? Is that where the garage is? I don't know what you could get 12 feet that would grow fast enough to do it, but I just don't feel like that moving the building 3 feet or whatever is going to help the vision of it at all.
Mr. Chairman, if given the motion, is the question not that we're here to act, or we as the board shall affirm, modify, or reverse the planning director's decision? And the planning director's decision was to deny the rear setback. Is that correct?
That's correct.
So the question is...
Do we affirm?
Do we affirm it, reverse it, or modify it? Is that right?
That's correct.
Okay. Thank you.
John. Chairman, I I think the planning director made the right decision in his call, and I don't like, you know, being put in a position of second-guessing him or reversing what he has done. However, I do think the contractor did a great disservice to the client and was kind of loosey-goosey with the rules in placement, knowingly in placement within the setbacks. However, if my geometry serves me well, we're really only looking at a section maybe 6 feet along the back side of the garage and 30 inches along the east side, you know, 2.5 feet. I don't think it would make much of a difference to Mrs. Fox if if it were 30 inches difference, there wouldn't be any change to her view, I believe. I think it would be a very difficult to make modifications to the building, and seeing it's only at a very short wedge, small wedge along there, along the back wall, I can't support the denial. I think it's just asking too much of the homeowner, although I do appreciate Mrs. Fox coming out. Thank you, Mrs. Fox. I put great credence in neighbor's point of view, but given the state of everything, making a 30-inch modification off that east side is an awful lot to ask. So I can't support the denial.
Mr. Chairman, I hear what's being said, but in recalling some previous cases that we have heard, and I remember one distinct case that we had heard regarding a home that was built and a corner of it was beyond the or within the setback. If I recall correctly, and this was before, Brian, you were here, we said that the building had to be modified to be within the setbacks, if I recall correctly. We also, in a previous case, had a stop work order on a building that, again, did not meet the setback requirement. It was just a couple of meetings ago where the building had been started. In fact, they were going to build it on an existing pad, if you recall. And yet it was determined that they could have met the setbacks had they moved the building over to meet the setback. And so I believe at that time this board denied the request. So that's what bothers me a little bit about this case here. When there was the setback requirements are known. They're published. There's no mystery. It's all out there. If there's any question, that's what the building inspector and planning department are for, is to ask questions, not just kind of look around and say, well, so-and-so is 5 feet, and over here is 5 feet, and therefore it must be okay. So that's what's bothering me just a little bit with regard. And I've supported the planning directors and the building inspectors' calls in the past, and I certainly respect what Mr. Bland has done in this situation. He did the right, as far as his administrative power is concerned, he did the right thing.
I'd like to say one more thing.
Pleasure.
That I went out there and I think everything looks fine, and I feel very sorry for the Ritz because they needed that storage area, and I don't know if the builder can move the whole building forward rather than just chopping it off, but they should have known and come back and questioned before they did this.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to just contribute and say that I concur and would like to take into account that you're deciding on a decision that was made by Mr. Bland, and I concur with that. I think it sets a standard that is going to protect the other homeowners to a degree for future issues, and that at some point it should have been considered within the standards that were known, and that the city resources should have been utilized to check and double check to protect the writs from a potential conflict of interest with the neighbors.
Any other discussion? As a reminder, Nance's motion to deny is an affirmation of the planning director's decisions.
To deny.
To deny.
That's correct.
Yeah. Hearing no further discussion, those in favor of the motion should by raising the right hand. Those opposed, same sign. 4-2, the motion is carried. I call your attention to application 1893002. And the chair is going to rule that application D-1893003 essentially are asking for the same thing, except in two different locations. Rather than hearing them separately, I think we can hear them together and then specify in a motion to either act differently on one or the other, application C or D. So we will consider application C and D together, and the motion will reflect likewise. All right. The application for the variance is to allow an electronic reader board sign that's on properties, and one of the properties is 1060 Silver Bluff Road, and the other piece of property is located at 390 Rutland Drive. To the city, has there been any inquiries that you wish to share with the board?
There have not.
No. Do you have a presentation for us?
Sure. We'll group both of these together in our presentations. So on item 3C, the location is, looking here, is a 1060 Silver Bluff Road. So this is about the point that Silver Bluff Road going southbound starts to transition into a two-lane from a four-lane. The site, as you see, is zoned office. It is right on the edge of the office zone district along that corridor. The electronic message board is allowed in the general business and industrial, light industrial, and our general industrial classifications. However, it was not specified to be allowed in the office zone unless it were an institutional or educational use. They are carved out. So the first location, yeah, is a 1060 Silver Bluff Road, again, kind of on the edge of the office zone district at that location. The second location is generally at 390 Rutland Drive. This is generally across from Aiken High School and is a single office zoned site between an industrial zone site and a residentially zoned site. So the industrial zone site in this case would be allowed to have the electronic message board. The office would not, and other than by variance, and then the residential site, which is undeveloped currently, would also have to have, in its current zoning state, a variance to allow one there, although it is, again, undeveloped. Both signs are very similar in nature. You see it is a monument style sign and would otherwise fit within our zoning ordinance for a sign in the office district, if not for the message board. And so they're requesting a variance to allow that.
So like in either case, the the owner could request a zoning change in both locations, and then they would be permitted the electronic sign by right.
Potentially correct.
Question to the city?
I went by the location on Rutland Drive twice, and there were no signs out there.
Is that true?
No signs.
Zoning signs.
Yeah, no zoning signs.
No, the sign that you put for the hearing, talking about the hearing announcement and so forth.
I've not confirmed it lately. Our zoning official put a sign on the property.
There was no
it's
sign.
Across
no
from the hospital. It could have been
okay.
A plank.
Yeah, it is occasionally, but rarely we've had signs mm-hmm. either fall over or get moved and that sort of thing. But at least at the beginning of the notice cycle, we did post a sign on the property. I can confirm that.
Okay. Other questions to the city? Thank you.
So what is in essence is they're going to take the old signs down and put the new signs up, same location.
Correct, same location. They would just be replacing. Yeah, one of them has, as you see here, a kind of a similar style sign. This is the Rutland Avenue. Have a similar style sign to what they would be proposing, although with a message board. The other sign would be a bit of a different change. A bit of a change. It's kind of a pylon style, freestanding sign. It would be moved to a monument style sign. This is the kind of. So just differentiation, some SRP locations are in general business districts and are changing to the new signs. And this, on their instance, is to try to have a consistent branding amongst their locations.
Okay. But the signage is, as proposed, falls within the city's sign ordinance, so to speak?
If not for the message board, otherwise it would be, as far as... Other than the reader board, yeah. The size standards, location, those sorts of things would be permissible.
Why aren't reader boards allowed in this particular zone?
I believe, and I wasn't here, obviously, for the time, but just kind of trying to decipher it, I believe the office district was seen as possibly a transition district to residential areas, and so as you transition from a more general business or a business commercial corridor, it might allow for kind of a step down in zoning in a number of ways, one obviously being use and intensity, the other signage between residential districts and more commercialized districts.
And does the city have any regulations or concern about the brightness of the sign?
There are certain conditions for let me see here. Yeah, so each electronic sign that I'm reading from is this 4.4.7E regarding freestanding signs and reader boards. 447EC, each electronic sign must have a photocell to automatically adjust the brightness of the lights no more than 0.3 foot candle above ambient light as measured using a foot candle meter at a distance assigned to delivered by taking the square foot of the product area of the sign times 100. So it's supposed to have a method of dimming itself as ambient light changes.
Okay.
Has the applicant given you a reason as to why they need a reader board other than they want to make it consistent with their other offices?
That's the primary reason given to staff, is to better advertise their products, and that they wanted to do that consistently amongst their stores. The applicant would be able to better address that than I would.
Thank you.
And also, though, if Aiken High decided to put a reader board up, it would be legal, right?
That would be correct, yeah. Institutional educational uses are allowed to do
right.
So.
Okay.
Thank you. Do we have a representative from AAA Sign Company?
All I have to say first is wow. That was a hard job y'all had.
I'm Bobby Stevens with AAA Signs. I have with me today with SRP Federal Credit Union Lee Bennington and Kelly Cotton, and also with AAA Heather Dye, who is a salesperson on these projects. SRP is upgrading all their signs throughout the CSRA, and we've made application to the one on Pine Log Road and have a permit in place for that one. These two just happened to fall in a crazy zoning, and so we met with Ryan, and rather than going the change in the zoning route, we decided to go with the variance route. SRP is very civic minded. I'm sure that sign will come in handy across from the high school when they have events, because it's a big deal to them to promote civic events and be civic minded, as y'all probably well know better than I do. The signs are built by Dectronix, which is a United States company. It's built right here in the U.S., and they come with automatic dimming systems. They also are the best, to our belief, signs made. You know, not everybody can say that, but we really have done our due diligence, and that's the only kind of sign we sell is Dactronix. So I'm very proud of that. These signs require a 10-second hold. They have to change instantly, and that's part of the ordinance, and they will adhere to the ordinance.
Any questions from the board and City John?
I have a question. Is the sign manually dimmable? You say it's automatically dimmable, but let's say, just for the sake of argument, it's still too bright. Is there a way of dialing back the brightness manually?
You can set it manually, but we haven't ever had one that malfunctioned. They're actually built, if they malfunction, they cut off.
Okay.
That's, you know, if they need service, though, I mean, if they malfunction, they cut off.
Did you put the sign, happen to put the sign over in front of the Aiken Community Playhouse, that sign, reader board sign? You can't see it from here. It's just that way.
Not to my knowledge, and I've been doing our permitting for the last 21 years.
Because that alarms me, because that is so garish and bright.
They probably can dim it.
Well, yeah, okay.
It's probably more.
And I would hate to see that become a new trend.
Right.
That can't be adjusted.
The ordinance is very plain about the dimming, and we have never had a problem, ever. Thank God.
I'm sorry, Ryan, do you concur? Is there the ordinance support dimming of or dimmable features to these reader boards?
Correct, yeah, the ordinance requires dimmable features to the reader boards.
But you said any malfunction of the sign, it will turn off, is that right?
If it overheats, it turns off. If anything happens to the sign, it turns off.
Okay, so if the dimming's not working, overheating, something burns out, it's automatically off.
Right.
Okay.
Right. Yeah, they come in panels, so you could have one panel out,
right,
and we would come out and service it. But you know, if there was something wrong with the sign, it would turn off. It would turn itself off. They're a good product.
Any further questions from the board to Ms. Stevens? Thank you.
Would you like to speak to the SRP people?
I'm going to call for others to speak to the borough's request.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Others to speak to the borough's request?
Thank you for hearing our motion. I'm Kelly Cotton with SRP Federal Credit Union.
What was your last name, sir?
Cotton, C-O-T-T-O-E.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. I have with me Lee Bennington
with SRP.
And the question would come up, yes, we're just trying to keep a cohesive look, trying to better advertise our company any way we can, trying to attract attention, you know, with these signs. We think they're very tasteful. We have them in other locations throughout the CSRA, and you're welcome to, you know, look at those. We've got one in Pine Log Road now. here in Aiken. But it's just a way for us to get the messages out. We are very civic oriented. Our whole thing in 2018 is going local throughout all of our communities that we touch. Anything that we can do, any kind of civic advertisements, you know, or anything like that that we can do, you know, that's our plan. Not only, you know, show our products and services and our interest rates and things like that, but anything that we sponsor civically or anything that the city or anybody wants, you know, we're going to try to accommodate as much as we can.
Question from the board to Mr. Godden.
I know this is dumb, but where is it on Pine Log Road? I'm trying to picture where that one is.
It's right in our branch at, I don't know the exact.
What's it near?
The service station.
It's actually, excuse me, on the corner where Powder House is. Powder House on Pine Log. It's on the right there by the food shop, and I think it's her. Jimmy Brinkley owns the shopping center out there.
Gotcha. Thank you. I just couldn't.
Yeah.
There for a minute. I was at the other end.
But these two signs that you're putting up will be the standard as far as you all are concerned for the type of sign that you have. In other words, if I go to one location or another location, Pine Log location is going to match exactly what I see over Rutland Drive.
Yes, sir. The only difference is some are pylons and some are monuments.
Gotcha.
That's the only difference. But the sign itself is the same size.
Okay.
Same look, same colors, everything. Okay. We still have our logo at the top of the sign.
Right.
And then the digital sign portion is below that. So it's a cohesive look. What we have now is just basically turning, you know, that portion of the sign into a digital sign.
Okay. And where do you do the programming for the sign?
In North Augusta.
Okay.
In the admin center in North Augusta.
Okay. So that North Augusta control center would control all the signs that you have in the network.
Yes, sir. And we can do target advertisements in the area, you know, if it's an Aiken target, you know, if it's something in Aiken that we want to advertise only in the Aiken area, it can be advertised only in Aiken. It's not the same thing across every sign.
Gotcha.
Okay. It's all interchangeable, you know, it's all programmable how you want it to be.
Okay.
Signage will be specifically for SRP products and anything you're connected to civically, or will you open that? Will not be open for any outside advertising.
There are strict regulations against that. We can't sell or we can't advertise someone else's products, but anything civically or our products, yes.
Any further questions from the board? Thank you.
I have further questions, but not of them. I was wondering, could I go back to the city?
Back to the city, yes.
Okay, but let's see if anybody else had questions for. Would you be able to put up a map of the SRPs and the buildings that are right beside it so I can ask a question one at a time? Do those?
Yeah, so we'll start.
Yeah, right
here's
there.
This is Silver Bluff.
Okay. Can you say this lot here can have a sign that is one of these reader boards? This one can, this one can, this one can't. Can you let me know?
So if I go back here to the zoning, it shows the lot immediately to the, in this case, the east, Crape Myrtle Drive, and adjacent. The Crape Myrtle Drive is vacant currently. There's
that's
no
to the right.
That's to the right on the map. That's correct. The next
and a reader sign there, if there was a
they could. And then next to that, you have the at least the pharmacy, and it does have a reader board.
Okay. Point and.
So here, this is their site. This property is vacant. Would be permitted.
Uh-huh.
This property currently has one and is permitted.
And go to the other direction.
The other direction, this would be Mabon Parsons. They would not be, they would also off the office zone.
So they would not be able to have a reading board.
Correct, under the current ordinance.
Properties across the street are zoned limited professional, and they would not be allowed at those locations.
And can you go to the other site?
Yeah. So there we go. Standing up again.
The SRP site is here. The center is the office. I guess not allowed. Aiken High School, although it's owned residentially, would be allowed an institutional use across the street. Immediately to the east, Aiken Standard Building would be allowed. It's in an industrial zone. To the west, this is all undeveloped currently.
Would they be allowed?
They would not be allowed in the zone residentially. So they would also require anybody going in there would have to either go through a zone change or variance. Unless typically if something is in a residential zone, it would be that would have a sign like that. It would be an institutional or educational or religious type use, and so they would be allowed in that case if one of those two uses would be allowed.
Thank you.
Final call. Do we have others to speak to the variance request for either location? Seeing, hearing none, the chair entertain a motion so we can enter a period of discussion.
Mr. Chairman, are we going to motion individually? Is that correct or together?
We can do them together or you can individually.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, I'll make a motion that both application.
We need to call out both applications.
Yes, I'm going to call out 18-93003 and 18-9002.
It's got a three in there.
I'm sorry?
9-3.
Okay, I'll correct. Application 18-93003 and application 18-93002 be approved to include reader boards in a new freestanding sign on both properties indicated that the reader board meet the standards of section 4.4.7.E. And the final order will be recorded at the RMC office.
I second the motion.
And properly moved and second that we approve the variance request. Do we have any discussion?
I have some.
Nancy?
Most of the people on this board probably don't remember when the sign ordinances first went in. And we started approving signs and we got a letter from the city asking us to support the ordinance as it was written. And I understand that they could change their zoning, but I'm concerned, you know, so we approve it at the one across from Aiken High, and then somebody else down the way wants it, and somebody else. So I won't be able to vote in favor of this, because if they want to get their zoning changed, I just feel like I need to support what I was asked to support, which was the signings, the rules that we have in our city.
Any further discussion? Hearing none, those in favor of the motion, show by raise of the right hand. Those opposed, same sign. 4-2, the motion is carried. With that, the chair would entertain a motion for adjournment.
I so move.
Second.
Second.
We stand adjourned.
I didn't know that's not part of the ordinance. We can have an office to our meeting.
Oh, wow. I thought there was going to be a long discussion. Repeating yourself.
Yeah, we just want to make sure you're included in.
blocks on the map.
And we all know ahead of time what it's what the order looks like.
That's
so we'll send out
an instruction.
We'll be able to know hard copy when we get closer to the meeting time. And then,
So this is basically when you start referencing, you know, what is the order, sort of like the operation. This is just sort of the official brand.
I'll tell you this.
I